Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 26, the 26th Psalm. Thanksgiving theme this morning with the message. Trust it'll be a blessing to your heart. Before we read, before we pray, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Some of us are well familiar with the verse. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The concert pitch for our life ought to be praise to God. Anything else, we're out of tune. As children of God, we ought to be the most thankful people on earth. Number one, thankful that we're Americans. Thankful for the freedom that we have. And some of it is slipping away, but we still have great freedom. Thankful to God for that. Thankful most of all, if you're a born-again Christian, your eternity is settled. And you're not alone in this world. And you've got a God that guides you every step of the way in life. But in case you're one of those people that think bad things and only happen to you and things only go wrong in your life, let me take you into my life in the last 48 hours. Just quickly, just by way of introducing the 26th Psalm here this morning. On Friday, we were notified that the toilet, which is at the lowest part of the facility here, was backflowing. It was overflowing. Oh, something's plugged. So we had a plan, and we went out there, and no problem. Now, unfortunately, by the time we got around to doing everything, Pastor Josh and Greg are refereeing a junior high basketball tournament out here in the gym. Pastor Bill is somewhere out in the woods, nowhere's to be found. Tom is headed up to the Keweenaw to preach with his family. This was yesterday, because it was a two-day adventure. So. Number one, on Friday, we started, I know where the hole is. I know where the tank is. Not a problem. You know, you can dig a lot of holes in 20 acres. And we, you know, even the septic tank guy, he said, you know, you get a backhoe. No. Know right where it is. No problem. Five holes later, we finally called the health department to get our old building permit, get the exact location of the tank, and she was looking it up, and tunk, I found it. We're using a rod now. On Saturday, we're using a rod. All right, boom, oh, I found it. It wasn't far away from where we were, but it was far enough we could have dug holes from now until the cows come home. And then everybody's gone. Bill helped initially. Tom helped initially, but those young guys, they peter out after a while. They're gone. And it's Friday, and after five holes, we got it dug. Now, here's the deal. The lowest septic tank, the first tank, it's a series, is below the basement level floor. So we've got a riser in there that we've got to find. We find the riser, then you go down to the riser, and you're in that little scrunch area, and you lift up the lid to the tank, and oh, that's a joyous experience. It really is. And in case you're thinking that nothing, you're the only one where things go wrong, I just want you to know you're wrong. Now, I'm down there in that hole, and I'm thinking of Pastor Bill, and I'm thinking of Pastor Josh, I'm thinking of Tom, I'm thinking of the deacons. I'm bitter about a lot of people. I'm thinking about a lot of people down there in that hole. And not everything is going right, and it didn't go right. And we made a phone call, and praise God for a guy I graduated from high school with, Don, and he was here and with his septic system, and he called Lloyd, a guy from Kinross, and for a living, he unplugs these things, got all that super duper equipment. We should have called him first, we didn't. Praise God for those guys coming through. But you know, I'm just short of 65 years old. I pastor a large church. I have a bachelor's degree. I have a master's degree. I have a doctorate in theology. And I'm thinking to myself, why am I down here in this tank? things, and I don't know, but you know, if you think long enough, and is there ever a good time for a septic system to go bad? I don't know there is, but the last time it happened, it was in January. So before I got out of that hole, I'm thanking God it's not in January and the ground is not froze. Thanking God bigger than that, that the two men that know what they're doing, they're here and everything, and thank God that it's fixed. And they think we're good until spring anyway. So I thank God for that. There's always something to thank God for. If things are going wrong in your life right now, you're probably not in a septic tank. Maybe it's worse than that. But the truth is, this is the will of God, that we have a thankful, grateful spirit in all things, the scripture says, in Christ Jesus. He said, this is the will of God for you and for me. So I'm born again. I have a shepherd. I'm not alone in this life. And he's directing my footsteps. Go to Psalm 26. And I'll give you some introduction here. It's Thanksgiving holiday. I love it. I love the food and all that goes along with it. But on September the 6th, 1620, the pilgrims left Plymouth, England. Their destination was a new world, a new life, and new freedom. They were filled with uncertainty, peril, and faith. 102 souls. 2 months they braved the harsh Atlantic waters. On December 11th, before disembarking at Plymouth Rock, they signed the Mayflower Compact, which was the first document of the New World. Pretty exciting. On September 6th of 1620, December 13th of 1621, they declared a feast. They had survived the first winter. On that day, the Indian king and 90 braves came along to the feast. It was a 3-day feast. I kind of like that idea. I'd like to see 3 days of Thanksgiving, then 3 days of New Year's Day, and have big feasts all 3 days. I think that would be wonderful. Just a little sidelight. The Jews got it right when they do the festival weeks and they have all that food. I think that would be the proper thing to do, but my wife is not willing to go that far, so I just kind of let that go here this morning. But in 1789, President Washington, just 5 months into his first presidency, wrote this. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all good that was and that is and that will be. And he says a whole lot more. He called that young nation to a day of feasting and service to God Almighty. I couldn't help but think when I was reading that this week that George Washington wouldn't recognize America today. And though we've known the blessing and blessed hand of God, the good hand of God, but there's so much about this country. You know, people aren't interested in getting together on Thanksgiving and giving honor to God. That isn't even in the mindset. It's unfortunate. If you look at Psalm 26, stand with me, please, for just a quick moment. In everything, give thanks. In everything. I know I already told you I love the holidays, but I do. I love a lot that goes along with it. Some of you have had success hunting already. God bless you. Invite me over. We'll have venison, mashed potatoes. It'll be a wonderful time. The pastor's presence will be a great blessing in your house. You can listen to me eat, all right? Thank you for those that are hunters. Some people are hunters. Some people are gatherers. I'm a diner. That's what I am. So you just invite me over. Psalm 26 says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Father, we come to you this morning, and I pray that you'd help me now to be a Bible preacher. I pray, God, that you would arrest our attention, that our focus would be right on the Bible that is right in our laps. God, may we take a writing utensil and make good notes so that we will remember and we'll be able to refer back to it later on. And God, make us students of the scriptures, specifically the 26th Psalm this morning. And we'll thank you for every victory that is had. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You ought to have a thankful spirit this morning. Be thankful to God for all that he's done for you, for providing for you eternal life. Be thankful for family and that God has placed under your roof, an extended family. And it's kind of a blessed thing as you see it grow and goes from one generation to the next generation. Pretty exciting to be a man or a woman that walks with God. Be thankful for that family that you have. Be thankful for mentors that have directed your steps in the past. Men and women that you can look back to in your mind's eye by way of faith and remember how they touched your lives and be thankful for them. May they not be a forgotten people. Be thankful for our forefathers. Be thankful for those that have fought for our freedoms. Be thankful for those that are fighting and protecting our freedoms today. Be thankful for the leadership that God has given to us in this country, especially the godly leadership, and pray for them and ask for them. And those that aren't godly, pray for them that they would get born again and there'd be revival in their lives and they'd turn to God for perhaps the first time. And all of a sudden, wouldn't it be wonderful if our president got born again? Wouldn't it be wonderful if our president gloriously one day walked out in a press conference and said, listen, I was reading my Bible last night. And I understood who Jesus is and was gloriously born into the family of God. That'd be a wonderful thing. Wouldn't it be great if revival took place in America? Wouldn't it be great if church houses all over the land thundered the word of God and taught and preached the actual word of God again? What a wonderful difference that would make. But be thankful for that we do have. That which in ways that God has blessed us. We have much, much to be thankful for. Here, David here in the 26th Psalm talks about getting in a place where God can bless him, where he can be thankful. I've got several passages of scripture I want to look at this morning. I'm not going to belabor a lot of verses in these 12 verses. We're going to be able to run through it in quick fashion. And I just trust and pray that God the Holy Spirit will preach to your heart and will ring, it'll ring true. And you'll never forget what's in the 26th Psalm. The 26th Psalm. And how we are to be a people thankful to God. We are to get on God's side. We're to love the things that God loves. Amen. We're to get on praying ground and praising ground and preaching ground. We do that, we're going to have a thankful spirit. That's what the 26th Psalm is about. That's a little 3-point outline. You can word it any way you want. But number one, get on God's side. Quit siding with the wrong side. Get on God's side. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. Look what it says in verse 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore shall I not slide. Now, David is able to say and pray out to God, God, I know I'm on your side. I'm thankful for it. He's not saying he's a perfect man. He is saying he's a man after God's own heart. He is saying, and by the way, anybody here can get on God's side. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins and confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So everybody here in the auditorium, everybody watching live stream, anybody listening to a radio broadcast, you can get on God's side. Number one, make sure you're born again. Make sure you know Jesus as your Savior. The gospel is never out of date. It is dateless. It is without a postmark. The old time religion is the new time religion. It's the anytime religion. It's the all the time religion. The Jesus that died on the cross, that message is never going to change. So number one, make sure you're saved. Make sure you're born into the family of God with a prayer of faith from your heart. Sorry for your sins, asking God to be Jesus, to be your Savior, God the Son, and he'll save you that very day. He'll hear that prayer every single time anybody on this earth ever prayed it. He'll hear it, and he'll hear it the first time that it is from the heart. Number two, as a child of God, you've got to get on God's side. Don't just be part of his family. Get on God's side. Don't side with the world. He says, David is able to say this. He says, judge me, scrutinize me, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. He's a man of faith. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me. That's actually the Hebrew word for scrutinize. O Lord, and prove me or test me. Try my reins and my heart. He's talking about his emotions. He's talking about his thoughts. David must have been a tremendous man of God. I know he faltered. I know he sinned. We all know of his great sin. But he was a man after God's own heart. And he's able to say, God, search my thoughts. You ever have bad thoughts? David was able to say, search my thoughts, know my heart, my reins, my inner being. Verse 3 says, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I be with dissemblers. Vain people, that's worthless people. Dissemblers, those are devious people. You become who you hang out with. You show me who your friends are, and I'll show you who you are. I'll show you who you'll become. If you hang out with people that suck on their thumb, that's what you're going to end up doing. If you hang out with drinkers, you're going to end up being a drinker. If you hang out with people that mock God, you're going to end up mocking God. If you hang out with people that aren't faithful to God, it won't be long, and you won't be faithful to God. So David recognized that. He said, God, I'm on your side. Search my heart. Know my thoughts. He confesses his sin. He walks clean. He walks clean before God because of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I don't hang out with the wrong crowd. Now here's a rub. We've got to love the wrong crowd. But you don't condone their sin. It isn't like you never touch them. That's not it. That is Phariseeism. Don't go there. But you're not associated with them. When people think of you, think of them, they don't think of you because you don't hang with them. That's not your crowd, but you love them and they know you love them. That's the godly, that's the New Testament Christian way. You love them and you don't condone their sin and you want them to get right and you want them to get right with God and follow Jesus. Maybe they're not born again, you want them. But David was not known with hanging with dissemblers or vain or worthless, empty people. That's not what David was known for. God, he says, you know my heart. You know my life. And I want to implore you this morning, get on God's side. I will reach out to those that are not born again, but I'll not unite with them. I'll not condone them. They'll know I love them because I'm going to communicate it. They'll know I care because I'm going to communicate it. But you know what? That's not my crowd. And if that's your crowd, that's more than a big red flag. Look out, fella. Look out, gal. It ain't gonna be long. And everybody will be saying, oh, there's a vain person. There's a dissembler. There's someone that doesn't know God. David wanted to be on God's side. Simply put, he wanted to live right. Live right. Go to Psalm 37. I just want to read a verse. I know we're familiar with this psalm because I've preached it, but look at verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They're prepared by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. It's a good thing to follow God. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now I'm old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. He's ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. That's the fact. That's the truth. You want to get on God's side so that you will have the blessings of God. Look at the very next verse back in Psalm 26, verse 5. Love the things that God loves. This is so important. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. There's all kinds of things in this world calling you, calling out to you, sirens calling out to you, saying, come over here, man, come on in, the water's fine. You're going to enjoy this. Be one of the crowd. Don't worry about it, man. You still got Jesus. You can partake in this and drink from this poison well. Verse 5 says, I hated the congregation of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. That's a Psalm 1 Christian. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. Now he's talking about loving the things that God loves. David was fiercely loyal to the tabernacle. I'm preaching to people this morning that are watching or here in the auditorium, and you can take or leave church. That is a bad deal. You'll never have God's blessing that way. David fiercely loved public worship. Let me read a few more and then we'll go to the 100th Psalm. Verse 6 says, I wash my hands, by the way, that took place at the tabernacle. I wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving and tell all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. David, I'll put it in modern terminology, David loved church. It wasn't enough to just kind of be on God's side in a nebulous way. David was faithful to meeting and worshiping publicly there at the tabernacle. Go to the 100th Psalm. Charles Haddon Spurgeon refers to it as the old 100th. The 100th Psalm. Tabernacle worship was the center of David's life. It was the center of Israel's social life. It was just all important. It says in verse 1 of Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves, for we are his people and sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That's what we got written over the doors of the church. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. I hope that reminds you every time you come to church. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Man, that's to be our mantra in life as born again children of God. Man, we get the world by the tail in Jesus. We really do. As a child of God, everything is under control. It's not like it's a big, wild, woolly world out there and we don't know what's going to happen next. That's not it. Not for the child of God. But David, go back to Psalm 26 again. He says he comes to the tabernacle. He comes for public worship. He wants to verbally tell everybody about Jesus Christ and what all that God means in his life. And as children of God, you know the passage in Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 25, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The fact is, by coming to church, let me really put this where the rubber meets the road. I kind of went back in time. Before I was a pastor, and when Dad would load up the family and we'd go to church, your neighbors know whether you love Jesus or not. Amen. Now listen, I know God's ordained the family. That's a big deal. That's biblical. And I also know that God's ordained the church. That's a big deal. And that is biblical. And one doesn't replace the other. They both, it's hand in glove, and they complement one another. But one without the other, that's bad news, is what it is. You know your neighbors know, oh, it's 9:30. Look, the Raiders are going to Sunday school again. Or maybe you live in a side road, and it's a gravel road, and you go by, yeah, there go the Raiders, they're going off to Sunday school. Or maybe it's 10:30, and they drive by your house, and maybe it's 5 to 11. They're not in church this morning. I'm telling you, people think this. I guess I don't need what they got. That's conclusions that they come to. You see, it's good. There's all kinds of Bible reasons for God's people to come together. One of them is your neighbors. And David said, man, I want to publish it. I want to make it known. So number one, get on God's side. Number two, verses 6-8, love the things that God loves. Boy, I got a whole list of references. Let's just look at Psalm 95. Just one more in this point. And then I got one more point after that. Psalm 95. Verses 1 through 3. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King and above all gods. Here's the reason. This is one of the reasons for the ecclesia. This is one of the reasons for the New Testament local church. We come together and we honor God, and the world sees that we honor God. That is just so very, very important. Look at Psalm 96, verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. After all that God has done to me, man, I come to worship him, the very next verse. And I come to worship him publicly. And I want to rub off. I want to impact you, and you ought to impact me. And we're here together, and we're honoring God. We lift our voices. We open our Bibles. We're here to worship. We tithe. We support missionaries. We come together and we fellowship with one another even afterwards. We're fellowshipping during church because we're just here with one another. And something happens. It's something that's special. And God, it's all part of the plan of God. When God's people assemble, ecclesia, called out assembly. When God's people congregate and they come together in their New Testament church, God does special things over everybody that is here. Hey, Dave, you just came to my mind, or Don, you just came to my mind just now. And I've witnessed to you twice about the God, about Jesus Christ, and you were here and you helped. You're part of what's going on here today because you helped with the emptying that septic tank, and you said you were going to watch. I want you to know you're involved in this, and we want you to come to Christ. We want you to get born again. I want you to know that Jesus is everything he claims to be as a people of God. That's what congregating does. You see, you can just go and do your own little thing. This is a dangerous thing. I'm not preaching anybody. I got nobody in mind. This has happened year after year after year after year after year. 41 years at Fundamental Baptist Church. And it went on long before that and throughout all the church age. Every once in a while, somebody gets a little crossed or something happens. Or maybe it isn't even on purpose. And they get used to not coming to church. And they think, well, we're still reading our Bible. And that's a wonderful thing. That you better be doing that. We all better be doing that. And we still have our prayer time. And by the way, my family's everything to me. And I'm telling you, you're wrong. Jesus Christ had better be everything to you. He's the one that makes all the difference. Your family's important to you, but Jesus Christ is everything. And if he says, it isn't about you, you're four and no more. It's about reaching the whole world. That's a New Testament church. Man, we get it together. I want to be on God's side, number one. Psalm 26. David said, I want to love the things that God loves. The bride of Christ. The word of God. The souls of men, women, and children. All eternal. And let's look at the very last thing here this morning. Verse 8 again. Verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, lewdness, violence, and in their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me. David's not bragging here. He's talking about the righteousness of Christ. I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. He's saying, I stand. David is saying, God, you can count on me because of your mercy. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless thee. There he is again in the church house. He says, my foot stands in an even place. That's solid footing. That is solid ground. David, first of all, said, get on God's side. Thankful heart, get on God's side. He said, number two, love the things that God loves. And then he says, number three, stand in the place that God can bless. Get on praying ground. Get on praising ground. Get on preaching ground. Otherwise, it'll be a self-centered life. Man, you'll have so little reward in heaven if you're born again. And will your children ever get born again? You can say, well, I'll make sure they're born again. Well, that's wonderful. I trust you do. But get in the place that God can bless. It's Thanksgiving. I love my God. I know you do too. I love my Savior. I don't want anything. Psalmist said, my cup runneth over. It does. Oh, you may end up in a septic tank once in a while, but my cup runneth over. Man, don't start feeling sorry for yourself. The problem with having a pity party, you can invite all kinds of people, but nobody ever shows up. It's just you. Man, get your eyes on Jesus. Love the things that God loves. You're on his side? Love the things that he loves. And get on praying ground, preaching ground, praising ground. Let God bless. Have that thankful spirit. Come into his courts with thanksgiving. I know the majority of you did. I hope all of you did. Come this morning and say, man, I get to go to church. It's church. Thank you, God. We're here. That's what the psalmist said. We praise him because we love him, because he's been so good to us. He's given us every good thing and every perfect thing cometh down from above. He is the source of all that's good. Not that which is evil. That's from here.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.